of the Washington Commanders, Ron Rivera, coming up in 20 minutes. Adam Thielen, who I've been efforting now for a couple of weeks, is supposed to join me at 11:40 Pacific time or in the last segment. Good day tomorrow, too. I don't want to jinx it. However, Kelvin Sampson may be by tomorrow. They're top ranked, by the way. Don't want to jinx this one. But the new head coach at Nebraska, Matt Rhule, may be on tomorrow. And it might even be via Zoom. So I'm feeling that too. Got a big game tomorrow night as well. So we got a lot going on midweek. I like it. ATP, I might jump ahead because I've got two interviews coming up. ATP is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Really quickly. Hi, Jim. Do you have a code of conduct or morals clause for the XR4Ti? Signed, Hugh Freeze. That's interesting. Not really. Nothing in paper. We essentially have the standard. And the standard is the standard. And standard over feelings. Essentially, what the standard is you come to work, hopefully early, you bust your ass, you have a good attitude, you have good energy, you be positive, you be happy, you have gratitude for having a great gig because they pay you to talk sports. You don't bring any baggage with you to work because work is work. You know, and then we have empathy. Like, if you got something going on and it's not good, I'm here for you. My door is open. But no, we don't have an actual code of conduct or morals clause. As an example, when I brought Chalk in, I did not have to tell Chalk, hey, you can't do social media. You no longer have access to your social media. Now, Hugh Freeze denied that. He said, no, that's not true. They didn't do that to me. Hugh, the problem is, when you say something is not true, actually, Hugh, when you open your mouth at all and your lips are moving, I just assume you're lying. You've lied so many times before. Why would I believe you now? So when you say that report that Auburn told me I don't have full access to my social media is not accurate, forgive me if I don't believe you because I don't believe you. I never believe you. Because I never believe people who lie a lot, especially you. So, to answer your question, do we have a code of conduct? No. You know what we have? We don't have a code of conduct, but we have kind of a show culture. You know, like you'd have a culture at your work or your team, which is kind of how things are done. And everybody who's come through here knows that. Now, the corporation that I work for has rules. You know, it's kind of, it's a more complicated question that you ask than you think it is. We're kind of on an island, right? So we have this studio and we have this show and we're in Southern California, but the corporate offices are based back east, on and on and on. They have their corporate structure and I've got my little island here. So I've got certain ways of doing things here and a certain brand and a certain process and a certain culture. However, I work for somebody else. Therefore, we all do. So, Hugh, does that answer your question? I personally do not have one for the XR4Ti, but we all have to submit to another one that's much bigger than us. Hey, Jim, seriously, what did Mr. Jones mean when he left 20% of him on Bourbon Street? I don't get it. Scott in the 716.
20% of me has been left on Bourbon Street.
I don't know, dude. You have to ask him. I can't speak for Jera. I don't know. It sounds like he got bleep canned one night and left a part of him there on Bourbon Street. But you'd have to ask him. See, the ATP are questions to ask me. It's not Jera's ATP. I wasn't with him that night. I don't know. I've never been with him out. I'd like to, but I never have. The ATP is not Ask Jarrah. It's the Ask the Pros. Rome Slice. Insert Jarrah coughing drop.
Excuse me.
Regards, right. The Broncos front office, when they see the return on their investment for cringe Wee Russ. Geoff and Lincoln. You imagine? They're not the only ones upset. How about the people who invested in buying tickets to their games? How about the people who invested in buying their merch? How about the people who invested in parking, concessions, their time, their emotion, their love of team? At least the folks who bought that team are extraordinarily wealthy. They'll be fine. I'm talking about everyday fan who's invested so much into it and they're getting that garbage.
Garbage!
This goes back to Chuck. That guy Chuck, who was just inflamed that people did not understand the World Cup. At Rip City AK tweets, "Hey Chuck, by the sound of that call, you are still waiting for your turn to wrestle for the first time. Unwar weirdo non-wrestlers." All right, there's that. Ron Rivera's coming up. Adam Thielen's coming up. Monday night, going back to Monday night, that was something of a disaster for the Colts. They lost. They looked terrible. They fumbled on first and goal from the one. They botched the hell out of the end of that game. Then Jeff Saturday hit the podium and made the biggest gaffe in a night full of gaffes.
I didn't feel like time was really of the essence at the moment. I thought we had a good play. I thought we would get to... Yeah, and I felt like we would get to it. You know, obviously we don't do great on the backside, so it's worse than it, you know. But I felt good about the call before. Felt like we had time. We would have timeouts afterwards. We were in striking distance. So, yeah, I never felt like the pressure of needing the timeout.
It's an amazing thing, right? Like, what that guy just said is so unforgivable. But the way he said it almost got him out of it, you know? Because he's got that energy. He's got that it. He's got that enthusiasm. But think about what he just said. I did not think that time was of the essence, and I really liked our play. When time was the only thing that mattered, and that play that he really liked was the worst play. But it's the way he says it, man. It's the way he shows up. It's that energy that he brings to pancake flipping and hot taking and being up there on the podium. I mean, I literally can't believe that Coach Wednesday tried to tell us that he did not think that time was of the essence. You know, in the fourth quarter, during a two-minute drill, down by a touchdown. I didn't think time mattered. But then again, I shouldn't expect much more from a high school coach and a pancake-flipping, hot-take-spitting talking head, right? But it isn't even an issue of football acumen or schematic brilliance or, frankly, even basic time management skills. Understanding that time is of the essence in a two-minute drill is essentially just common sense. I don't think you need to play in the NFL to understand that. I don't think you need to play college football to understand that. I don't think you need to have played football at all in your life. I think if you've watched one football game, you understand that. And yet, the head coach of an NFL team is up here telling me that he didn't think that time was of the essence. As I said before, never mind never having coached in college or the NFL, or having only coached in high school, has this dude ever even seen a football game before? You don't need to know anything about football to understand that time is of the essence. This is why it's called a two-minute drill. This is why they've isolated a portion of the game and given it its own name, the two-minute drill. Why? Because time is of the essence.
Time was really of the essence at the moment.
So, I was not shocked when Coach Tuesday showed up yesterday with a very different tone when he hit the podium the day after to take responsibility for completely blowing it and humiliating himself. And he did pretty much almost kind of sort of take responsibility. Almost. But not really. Because clearly Coach Friday still does not understand the essence of time, or the time was absolutely of the essence in the 2-minute drill on Monday night. But I'll give him this. He did admit that he should have taken a timeout after Maddie melting ice's horrifyingly slow motion scramble. My man's out here like a glacier melting between the chains, trying to move them. Check out the logic from Coach Bra when discussing that.
From a time perspective, I felt good, but you could tell we were in disarray. I just didn't have a great feel. And Parks made a great call. I still liked the call right away. You know, I told him to have one ready. And as soon as he went down, he had the call in place. So his was on. But then we had the formation and personnel. We had guys run across. And again, I just, you know, looking back, it's a learning experience. You know, I didn't meet my expectations. Again, I hold the guys accountable. I'm accountable for that. Just wish I would have. That one's the one that's going to stick with me.
Man, there's a lot of word salad in that. That's just a lot of talking, man. A lot of talking, a lot of talking, a lot of talking. And he's not making much sense at all. Like, I really like that play call. I like that Parks had that play call. But the one for no gain, that play call, that run straight up the middle that had no gain. You mean the worst play in your playbook. You like that play. You like that. You like that he had that play. And you still feel good from a time perspective. Dude, do you know why you felt like you were kind of in disarray? You're in total disarray.
Disarray.
That's a good word. And you know why you're in total disarray? Any high school coach who got taken off campus and dropped into an NFL head coaching position would be in total disarray, and you are.
Disarray.
And also probably because the mannequin wearing a helmet had just scrambled about 15 yards. That probably would lead to some additional disarray. A winded, ancient quarterback and a 30-year-old play caller who has never done it before and is only doing it because the guy they tried to get to do it wouldn't do it because you wouldn't give him any more money. No way. And this all happened. It's all pretty common sense, right? Simple logic. But not as simple as the logic as it takes to realize that this was not good. None of it was good. From a time perspective, Coach Friday completely blew that. This dude had a whole night to think about it, though, and he still doesn't think that time was of the essence in a scenario when time was the entire essence. And that is a rough sign for Colts fan. Not that anyone should have expected the dude with 0.0 head coaching experience. Not that you would have expected him to know how to handle that, because clearly he doesn't. But I go back to Jim Irsay. He was the guy that made the call. Like, I don't even blame the guy for saying yes. Like, Saturday probably thought to himself, damn, somebody's offering me a head coaching job in the NFL. Hell yes, I'll take that. No way would I ever be in position for something like that. You mean I don't have to climb the ranks? You mean I don't have to work those hellacious hours? You mean I don't have to be an assistant coach? You mean I can walk right out of this studio where I'm flipping pancakes and spitting hot takes and I can be a head coach and not pay my dues? Hell yes, I'll do that. I almost don't even blame that guy for being that clueless. It's on Jim Irsay. But just don't expect Coach Monday to be anything other than what he is, or for that to happen. Of course that happened. And him coming back the day after and sort of, kind of owning it, but offering up a lot of gibberish doesn't really fix it either.
Yes,
Colts
right.
Fan. No. Not surprising. All right, when we come back, Ron Rivera joins me. Commanders head coach, Adam Thielen after that. Small business owners, do you want to know the secret to navigating the employee retention credit? Trust in Omega Accounting Solutions to help you recover any payroll tax overpayments that you may have made during the pandemic. You may even be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee if you continue to pay employee wages during COVID. All it takes is a quick and easy, free 10-minute ERC consultation to find out if you qualify or not. It really is that simple. In fact, the date from onboarding to filing is only 30 days. CPAs and payroll companies even turn to Omega for ERC tax guidance. Because they're that knowledgeable and they're that efficient. And with over 15 years of experience in financial management, business leadership, and corporate strategy combined, you can count on Omega every step of the way. To take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit, or if you have any specific ERC questions, call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or the funds run out. That's 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Quick reminder, calling all small business owners who paid employee wages during COVID. You know, you may have overpaid on your payroll taxes and you are eligible to receive a refund of up to $26,000 per employee. To schedule your free ERC consultation, call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com. Once again, toll free, 800-704-2000. So what we're looking at for the rest of today, I'm efforting Ron Rivera. And in fact, I have found him. He is the head coach of the Washington Commanders. He is a two-time NFL Coach of the Year, 2022 George Halas Award winner. He was a Super Bowl champ as a player. Washington has won three in a row, six of their last seven. They've got a big one coming up Sunday against the Giants. We are joined by Ron Rivera. Ron, it has been a minute or two. I want to say how much I appreciate having you on. Ron, how the heck you doing? How you feeling?
I'm doing well, Jim. Feeling really good these days. You know, winning does that.
Winning does do that, right? And you guys have done quite a bit of that lately. So let me ask you right now, the team, you started the year 1-4. You've ripped off six of seven. You're arguably, Ron, the hottest team in the NFL right now. What, it probably is a number of things, but primarily what sparked that turnaround?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with just getting to that point where everything's coming together. The way they play, the way they work together, the way they communicate, how they approach their jobs. You know, it's been funny. You know, some people say when we were getting ready for the Bears game, this article came out, a little bit of a distraction. And one of the things that we preached about all week was, hey, let's just focus in on playing the game. Let's focus in on our jobs. And it seemed to be that the guys really focused in on just that, and nothing else seemed to matter. So we really just stayed with it. Before we know it, the guys are really coming together. The guys are really playing, and they're just doing a great job of preparing to do what they need to do on the field. Everything else, I tell them, let me worry about.
I like that. Block out the noise. Don't worry about those distractions. Ron Rivera joining us. Ron, I'm curious. Like, I could see whereby, especially if you've got a locker room and it's player led in to a certain extent, and you've got good leadership in there, and I know you do. What was the vibe like though when the team was 1-4? Like in times of adversity, like a bad or negative column is one thing, but when you're 1-4, was there any sign of anybody letting go of the rope or not trusting the process? Any sense at all of, oh no, here we go again?
No, because you know what was happening, Jim, and unlike last season, when I would show some things from the tape, it was always about what they could do, the things that they were doing that were positive, how close we truly were. You go back and you look at some of the tape from those four losses, and you go, man, if we had a quarterback had a half a tick here of a second to throw the ball downfield, if this guy fits his gap like he should, you know, we stop that, or if he doesn't drop that interception. I mean, there are all these little detail things that we didn't do right, and knowing that if we did them right, it would give us the opportunity to win. And I think the guys really bought into that part of the process, as you said. And I don't disagree with you. I don't think these guys ever lost sight of the process and how close we were on the process.
Ron Rivera is joining us. Ron, you mentioned the quarterback or a quarterback. What about Taylor Heinicke? He gets an opportunity, Ron, and he does what he does, man. He competes his ass off. He makes plays. He sparks his team. What has he meant to the offense specifically? And then how infectious is that energy?
You know what's interesting is I tell a lot of people, the one thing about Taylor is he understands he has this underdog mentality. And because of it, I think it's what drives him, because he's going to prove people or show people that he is more than capable, that he is an NFL-style quarterback. The other thing that I think has really helped his teammates to buy into it is because of the way he plays. He comes in 2020, we're right in the middle of this playoff run, and he helps us get into the playoffs. Then we're playing Tampa Bay, and he doesn't back down one iota. In fact, one of the most courageous things I've ever seen. He scrambles, lays out to score a touchdown, and in the process lands on his left arm and semi-dislocates his shoulder and comes back in and finishes the game out. And his teammates never forgot that. I mean, they just thought, man, this dude's a stud. He gave it his all. And I think that's what kind of gives him that infectious attitude that everybody else feeds off of who he is as a football player and as a quarterback.
Ron Rivera joining us. That was an amazing game. That was an awe-inspiring game. I can remember watching that game and saying, man, I got to talk to this guy. We have to have him on the show. And it was because of that very play and the way he showed up in that game. Ron, I want to ask you about a guy that I just love, Terry McLaurin. From where I'm sitting, and this is just where I'm sitting, I think the guy is an incredible player and an amazing leader. What is he like to coach?
Oh, my gosh. He really is a coach's dream. First of all, he's not a diva. I know a lot of guys at his position tend to really focus only on themselves. Terry's one of those guys that is team-oriented. He focuses on the team. And, you know, he's a guy that will do the little extra things the right way. And he sets the example for his teammates. But one of the really cool things, one of the real classy things is who he is, more so than anything else, on and off the field. He is the same guy. And one of the really neat things that he did this year was, and it was after the victory against Philadelphia in the locker room. I just got back from my mother's funeral, and, you know, it was one of those things. It was one of those moments I had. Terry stepped in and he spoke to the rest of the team on my behalf, and it was tremendous. It was one of the best post-game speeches I've ever heard, period, given by a player or a coach, and he's an inspiring young man.
I think, Ron, those who saw that and saw that video know what you're talking about. It was so moving. What was your mom like, Ron?
You know, she was a very tough, very private woman, but she loved everybody. And the thing that was really neat about mom was, you know, she was a military mom and she understood that. So wherever my dad went, she packed us up and she moved us there. She ran the family when he was gone. She had to be mother, father, coach, teacher. She did everything. And even to the point where, you know, one year she would pitch batting practice to us. Another time she would run tackling drills for us because we, you know, four boys, we all played sports, and whatever sport we were in, you know, we wanted to be the best, and she would do all those things. And you know, she's just an amazing woman, and anybody that understands Army life and what it's like to be an Army wife, Army mom, she was special. She really was.
That's an amazing anecdote. Ron Rivera joining us for a few more moments. I appreciate you sharing that. You know, Ron, you had an amazing quote, I thought, when the team dropped to 1-4, and it's one thing to drop to 1-4, but the way you lost that game, a pick on the 1-yard line, you said afterwards, quote, "I wanted to throw up after that," end of quote. I bring it up because I want to ask you this. I mean, that's pretty visceral, and I don't doubt that for a second. Is it because you hate losing that much? Is it because you love your guys that much? Is it because of the work and sacrifice that goes into it? What makes one of the toughest dudes ever say something like that after a game like that?
Mostly because of everything you said. The way our guys work, the way our guys compete, the way our guys have come together, it's one of the things that you're, you know, I mean, I'm truly proud of who these young men are just because of the way they've done things. They've done everything that I've asked. They've done everything their coaches have asked. They've done everything that their teammates need them to do, and to lose on the last play. Now, credit to them. It was a heck of a play by their linebacker. But for our guys to do the things the way they've done them and work hard and get ourselves in that position, it was rough. It really was. And I felt really bad for our guys. I really did.
Ron Rivera joining me for another moment or so. Really quickly, Ron, what about the division? I mean, it was not that long ago. Not only have you guys turned it around the way you have, just a couple of years back, the NFC East was something of a punchline, and now you've got four teams in that division lining up and punching people in the face. I mean, it feels like that NFC East ball throwback the way it used to be. What does that division feel like to you in 2022?
It feels exactly like that, and I've heard some people say, you know, the beast of the East is back, and I don't doubt it just because of all the things that are have kind of come to fruition. You look at it, you know, like with the Giants, you know, having the draft picks where they've had them for as many years, and they're starting to come of age, and you're starting to see those guys play. And then part of the mentality that Coach Daboll has brought to that organization. You look at what they're doing in Philadelphia with the quarterback, with Jalen Hurts and everything, and everything seems to be built around him, and it just keeps going. And then Dallas with their dynamic athletes, it's just, you know, you see that. And then us, you know, going back to old school, playing a little bit of physical football in terms of running the ball and trying to play really good defense, I think that's it's going to be competitive, and it can be competitive for a while if we can continue to do the right things with our personnel and keep, you know, putting those types of players into the play.
Right. There's no secret what you want to do. You want to pound the ball on the ground. You've got a couple of guys who can do it. Last thought, Ron, what about Chase Young? He continues to work and grind to try to make a season debut coming off that torn ACL. Can you share what is his status right now? Is there any chance at all he goes this weekend?
There's an opportunity. I think, Jim, the biggest thing everybody got to understand was just wasn't the torn ACL. You know, he had a little the patella tendon was injured as well. So that's kind of what slowed the whole process of his return, more so than anything else. So now it's about working it back into shape. And the one thing that Dr. Andrews has told us is that he'll know for sure, because right now he's got to go out and be on the field and do those kinds of things in practice. We can't mimic what it's going to feel like doing regular rehab. You have to rehab it as you practice. And so this is what it's all part of. And we try to check with him after he's done, see where he's how he's feeling, how it feels to him. And then, you know, we get a chance to see if we can get him back. The nice thing, as far as it's concerned, he had a good week last week. We're hoping for a good week this week, and we'll see how things are come game day.
So one last thought on the way out the door. Ron, you sound amazing. I mean, you sound amazing. You look great. I'm watching you on Zoom. I'm curious, in terms of where you are in your journey, are you having so much fun with all this right now? Or as the guy, do you still feel such an overwhelming responsibility to so many people for so many different things that it's kind of hard to allow yourself to have fun? What's it feel like to you now?
A little bit of both. I kind of get that whole sense that, you know, I have a fiduciary responsibility to the organization to do the things that are right for us. But at the same time, I'm enjoying it because I got a great group of people around me. Got a good staff, got good coaches, got good players, guys that buy into what we're trying to sell. And I think that's going to help us as a football team as we go forward.
Bottom line is NFL head coaches do not have to do shows like this. You have always been available to me and to this show. I appreciate that so much, Ron. I appreciate the relationship, and I appreciate the opportunity to get caught up. That was so much fun. It's great to have you back, Ron. Thank you very, very much.
Appreciate it, Jim. Thank you.
Ron Rivera is the head coach of the Commanders, a two-time NFL Coach of the Year, and I want to be very clear about that. NFL head coaches do not need to do media hits like that. So I appreciate him. I've always appreciated him greatly and the access that he gives us. That's a great conversation. And they're having a great year. The NFC East, the beast that is the NFC East, is back. They are fun. That division's fun. The Commanders are fun. And that's some good content there. Still ahead, Adam Thielen is going to join me. That's coming up next segment. Phone lines are open in and around all that. 1-800-636-8686. My thanks to Ron Rivera and the Commanders. Adam Thielen is next, but first, here is a sports up. Who's staying up all night? All right, so we found Ron Rivera. What an amazing job he's done. Great hire, great job. And they turned it around. They did start 1-4. They're arguably as hot as any team in the NFL right now. If not them, make an argument for Minnesota, who is 9-2. I am now efforting Adam Thielen. Still ahead, Joe Montana. He is going to be my guest on the Jim Rome Podcast, episode 245. Have not run down Joe in a little while, so I'm looking forward to that. Big day. Big, big day. Then tomorrow, a big program with a couple of really good interviews. Jim Rome's Big Head Bets tomorrow. So another end to a big week. Let's go to the phones quickly as I'm efforting my next guest. Let's go to Austin. Otis in Austin. Otis, my dude, what's up?
Romy Rome. After that huge call from Jerry Jones, you have to give Jer along a golden ticket to the next Mac-off. I'm so glad to hear that Wisconsin and Nebraska are hiring new football coaches, too. Finally, Wisco can pour on the cheese and Bugger Hall can pile on the corn. Jim, my Christmas is coming early this year. It's by midnight Saturday. Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC will all have lost, and chaos will ensue. Nick Saban and Rip from Yellowstone will be ready to sharpen their elbows and get into the play.
Oh, this is my man. Sorry about that. As promised, we're joined right now by a wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, a two-time Pro Bowler. He holds the NFL record with 8 consecutive games of 100 receiving yards, coming off a big game in that win over the Patriots. On the season, 54 receptions for 553 yards. Minnesota 9-2, first in the NFC North, and they've got a big one. They're hosting the Jets on Sunday. Adam Thielen is my guest. Adam, it's great to run you down. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you, Adam. Thanks so much. Listen, I know you're looking ahead, but I've got to ask you about that bounce back after a pretty rough day against Dallas. How critical was it for you guys to bounce back the way you did against New England on Thanksgiving night?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was big for us as a team just to show, you know, how important it is to prepare and to have a mindset, have that kind of energy. It was good for us to show, you know, when we don't have that, what happens, and then what we do when we do have that, when we do have that focus and that intensity throughout the week and then in the game, you know, what that does. And I think it was good for us to learn that as a team, and we're going to have to use that moving forward.
I think that's really interesting. Like, I mean, it's such a long year, Adam, no matter what. It's a long season, and it's a grind. And I know guys get caught up in the process and the regimen, but to your point that, you know what, if you kind of lose track of that or you slip just a little bit, that's the type of thing that can happen. How does it happen? Is it just a matter of it being, it's a really long year? And by the way, it's not easy.
Yeah, for sure. But I do think, again, to my point I just made, you know, you kind of look back at those 2 weeks because they were so close together. You could just sense a little bit of a difference. And I think it really came down to intensity and kind of attitude, that kind of chip on your shoulder attitude. It was probably the biggest difference. You know, I think there still was obviously great preparation, and there was want to win, there was will to win. But I think it was just a little bit of missing. And you know, you kind of look inward first, and I think that was something that I kind of took to that next week was, okay, I'm bringing that intensity level a little bit higher in the way I prepare. So my preparation is not going to change. My process isn't going to change. But just the intensity level and how I do it, it needs to change. And I think, again, that's what we kind of learned from those two back-to-back weeks.
Hey, by the way, I love that. I think that applies to anybody and everybody in terms of what they do. You know, it's amazing when you guys are looking at, when you look at it, you guys are 8-0 in one score games this year. I mean, that speaks to your tenacity, that speaks to your grit. I'm curious, is it something that even on this level you can work to develop as a team, or frankly, do you just have to bring in as many guys as you can who are already built like that?
You know, I think it's a little bit of that, but I also think it's the confidence you gain as the season goes. You know, I think you win a couple of those early on in the season, and you gain confidence in the fact that, hey, if we are in this position again, we've been through it, we've done it, we've proved that we can do that, and we can come back, and we can go win those close games, and we can handle some of those tough situational football situations that you have to be better than the other team to really have a chance of winning those close games. So I think just the confidence of from week in and week out of doing that a few times over and over, and then you kind of just know that you're always have an opportunity to win the football game. And when you have that confidence, that kind of allows you to just go out there and play a little bit freer. You know, you're not as dependent on, you know, a specific play. You just know that you can go out there and just play free. Let the game come to you and then kind of just let it play out.
Adam Thielen is joining us. So you and Bill Belichick had words in a game back in 2018, as a lot of fans remember. And then you had a little bit of a shoulder bump, which honestly I thought was kind of cool, Adam. I'm not going to lie. I thought that was kind of compelling and kind of riveting. I mean, I'm curious. At the end of that game, you won. You're coming off the field. Were you looking to have any kind of moment to connect with him on any level? Or had you not forgotten 2018? And were you looking to enjoy that big win and just keep moving?
No. I have a lot of respect for him and what he's done, what he does as a coach. You know, the difficulty it is to play a Patriots team. You know, we've played them a few times, and it's a tough challenge every time you play against them. So I have a ton of respect for him. So I kind of wanted to say that, but you know, it probably wasn't a great situation. You know, he's looking for the other head coach. It's right after the game, after a tough loss. So, but I was hoping to catch with him before the game or quickly after the game. But I don't think he meant any ill will behind it. I think it just was a bad timing.
Yeah, I thought you would answer it like that. Honestly, it seemed like that's what you were looking for. I thought that maybe you were looking for that. So, like, heat of the moment, two really competitive guys. He had a tough loss. Are you good with that? Or were you a little disappointed that you didn't get that moment? Or he didn't give you, afford you that moment?
No, I'll get that moment at some point. But, yeah, I mean, it'd be great to have a quick conversation with him. But yeah, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't rub me the wrong way at all.
Appreciate your thoughts. I get that. Adam Thielen is joining us. So, of course, you got yourself a new head coach in Kevin O'Connell. He came over from the Rams after a couple of years as their offensive coordinator. He was a great quarterback at San Diego State, spent 5 years in the league as a player. How has the offense evolved since he took over, and what's it like to play for him?
Yeah, you know, I think those two questions kind of go together. I mean, I think how the offense has evolved and what how I feel about playing for him and how is he to play for are very similar, because he's a guy that's willing to adapt and overcome and to find ways to make this offense, this particular year with these players, the best it possibly can be. And, you know, it's not always the case. So it's a lot of credit to him that he's willing to adapt and to bring in what we do well and try to make this the best offense possible. You know, a lot of times, that you run a certain system and that's what you do. You got to find a way as a player to master that system. But I think when you can kind of have that collaborative effort of what we do well as players and what the system brings and kind of bringing that in, meshing it to be the best system as possible, I think that's what really makes a great coach and a great leader.
Adam Thielen, my guest for one more moment. Adam, one thought about Justin Jefferson, that catch that he made against Buffalo. There's been so much talk about that and how that's the catch of the year. That might be one of the greatest catches ever. I mean, you're with the guy every single day. You work and practice with the guy. That catch that he made on 4th-and-18 against Buffalo, is that even the best catch you've seen him make?
You know, honestly, I don't think so. You know, I do believe, though, just situationally, how much that catch meant to what, you know, giving us an opportunity to win that football game. It was probably the biggest catch, but as far as the best catch, I don't think so. You know, I think he makes these catches look so easy. I mean, there's times in that Patriots game where he made a couple catches that, you know, everyone maybe thinks like, oh, that was a good catch, but I think he makes it look so easy that, you know, the one where he's down the sideline and he kind of gets smacked as he's catching it and holds on and a big play down the field. Those routine catches. That he makes them look routine, that those are not routine catches. So it's fun to be able to be alongside him and see him just be so consistent and playing at a high level week in and week out.
All right, so one last thing. I've got to ask you about one guy on the team that I cannot get enough of, a guy that I think is absolutely electric. That's your play-by-play man, Paul Allen. This dude is amazing. What do you think of this guy and the juice and the power that he brings to his gig?
Well, you know, it's kind of cool for me because it's come full circle. You know, I grew up listening to him, and I remember driving, with my dad. You know, we'd drive in somewhere on a Sunday, and we'd be listening to the game on the radio, and it was one of my favorite things to listen to PA. And then I remember in college, you know, every during the week, you know, I'm doing my homework or on my way to school or something, I always have K-Fan on, listen to PA, and then now being able to build a relationship with him and know him for the last 10 years. He's a great human being and has been a great mentor for me. So it's really cool to see him at the national spotlight. Honestly, I didn't realize until recently that he wasn't really known nationally. And then when the Buffalo game and he kind of got some of that national publicity came out, I guess it kind of shocked me because I thought he was already nationally known and had that national respect. But he's unbelievable, and that voice is just – there's just nothing like it. And the way his spontaneous, you know, how he's just so quick on his feet is impressive.
And it's really interesting what you said, that he's been a mentor to you. How so?
You know, I think just in a lot of different ways, you know, he's always shedding a positive light. He's always, he prays over me before every game. From a faith perspective, he's really dove into his faith and is really knowledgeable and strong in his faith. So has been a great resource for me there. And then just, outside of football, being able to talk about, you know, post-career stuff and him just really wanting to help me there is really been cool.
Yeah, I promise you, last thought, you mentioned he's positive. I love that notion of positivity. Like, are you pre-naturally positive? Is it a choice? What about that positive mindset and bringing that to the facility every single day? Because you know that's so critical.
Yeah, you know, I think as humans, we're probably not, no one's probably not naturally positive. I do tend to lean towards the positive mindset, but it's something that I have to focus on. You know, every day when I'm on my way to work and I'm thinking about how blessed I am and how thankful I am for where God has put me and the people that he's put in my life, you know, I think that's where I get that positive mindset to say, you know what, I'm pretty blessed to be here. Like, I don't have a whole lot to complain about. So I'm going to try to share that and spread that by just being positive and being happy and being outgoing, whether it's good or bad in the building. And you know, trying to have the mindset, is it easy every day? No, but I think it does help not only yourself when you have that mindset, but others around you.
I love that message, and I can feel it. Just this conversation alone, I can feel it, that you have that gratitude, and it's real gratitude, and you embrace everything. Adam, it's great to get caught up. I really appreciate you spending so much time and coming on this show. Really appreciate the conversation, and great to talk to you, Adam. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Take care.
Adam Thielen, Vikings wide receiver. All right. I love it when a plan comes together. Two great NFL interviews. Well, three, actually. But two great ones in the last hour. Adam Thielen, Ron Rivera, Lane Johnson in hour number one. That's a big, big NFL day. My thanks to all three of them. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. Once again, my thanks to Lane Johnson, Ron Rivera, Adam Thielen. Keep in mind, we have not done it yet, but I'm going to push out an episode of the Jim Rome Podcast with Joe Montana. The Hall of Famer joins me a little bit later on, so look for that then. If you're already subscribed, it will find you, and you will not have to look for it. My thanks to the XR4TI crew. Clones, nice job. See you tomorrow. Have a great day. We are out.